The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The influx of people into Ireland this summer hoping to attend English language schools has hit a significant stumbling block, with some courses cancelled and many schools turning away overseas students. Is it Brexit? Is it COVID? Is it a lack of accommodation? Well, for some insight into this, I'm joined now by the Managing Director of Active Language Learning, based in Dunleary in Dublin, and he's also Director of English Language Education Ireland. He is Kieran Mann. Kieran, good morning.
Morning, Pat, and thank you for inviting me on. Greetings from not a sunny Dunleary, but good
not
morning.
I passed through it in the rain this morning on my way in, so I'm all too familiar with it. Now, Kieran, this is a bit of a perfect storm.
Yeah, we've coined it as a perfect storm, Pat. It's difficult. I mean, obviously, unlike many sectors, we had terrible difficulties with COVID and the absolute shutdown, but with government help and that, we got through all that. Probably weren't expecting the bounce back so strong, so fast, so it kind of hit us a little bit offside, but we're delighted that it's back. But we started, you know, suffering problems that we probably never saw before. Look, Brexit was there. We all knew it was part of our lives. It was just parked because of COVID, but it never went away.
Now Brexit, for you, you got the silver lining to the cloud, because many overseas students who'd go to Britain to learn English suddenly found their access denied,
blocked off as such. Yeah, so we obviously saw an increase of market share in terms of people looking for quotes and asking for, you know, course details, and that had just started as COVID started, so it was kind of put on the back burner. We just probably as a sector weren't expecting that. When it did come back, it just came back so fast. It was wonderful, great to see. But then obviously we had this flip side of issues that we weren't expecting, and accommodation being probably the most difficult one, because it has manifested in us having to turn away business. And this is good business coming into Ireland. This is export.
Yeah, and they spend good money here. It's huge. The problem of accommodation, we know about the housing crisis and so on, and that's one thing. But there's a peculiar thing that happens in your situation, where you might have a householder who's got a spare room and will take in these foreign students who want to learn English, and suddenly a member of the family needs that spare room to work remotely.
Exactly. And we would comfortably allow about a 60% drop in provision. Now that you know, 20% of that would be people who suddenly are working from home, or a family member working from home. Now they may not, you know, obviously they may not be working from home for the full week, but if you take one day, 2 day, that bedroom's out, that's gone anyway. It's not like you can move students in and out for the days that somebody is working. Another 15 to 20% of people may have, you know, elderly, gentle-aged parents that don't want to take the risk, or children or family members with underlying conditions. That takes out another 10, 15%. We also then have, you know, as you mentioned already, we do have the housing problem. That's, you know, going to take another 10% out of it. People just for COVID reasons aren't going to, you know, come into the welcoming of students, and that's another 10%. Coupled again with the Ukraine issue, which we're very happy to be part of, and we've all scholarshiped many of the Ukraine families into our schools, but it is another contributing factor. So there's about a 60% drop in provision, and, you know, extra business, less to offer, has caused the industry, you know, a huge problem at the moment.
It's hard to see, Kieran, a resolution to this problem, because, you know, you can't, as we've been saying to politicians who talk about increasing numbers of houses and apartments and so on, you can't magic them up. There is a pipeline process that takes years.
Well, Pat, I suppose what you have to do is you've got to get stakeholders, government and stakeholders, around tables and start, you know, discussing what avenues we need to take. And that's for now, because, Pat, what's happening now is nothing in comparison to what's going to happen in September when our Irish students come into the fold. Because you must remember, this all started at the end of what we would call an academic year, you know, March, April, May, coming to where students were moving out. Now you've got the summer coming, and then suddenly September is going to be here tomorrow. And there's going to be a deluge of Irish students coming into the fold. And we really need to be looking at universities to have a look at their accommodation offers. You have to remember that English language can only offer 15 students to one lecture, one teacher. Mm-hmm. Whereas universities can offer 40, 50, maybe 60 people in a lecture room. And that room can be used several times a day. Now, is there a provision for those students to go into housing or into, you know, on-campus accommodation? that has to be addressed immediately, that the state-funded universities must look at the accommodation situation. And they must say, OK, we've got how many first years, how many second? This is across Ireland. How many first years, second years coming up from country, you know, the countryside to come to the cities to do fantastic degree courses? They need to be accommodated and taken out of the fair first. Once that's
the colleges again can't magic up accommodation. Many of them have built on campus accommodation, sometimes operated by third parties.
In terms of numbers, Pat, they need to address it. I mean, they're building fantastic facilities for education, but it is not being complemented by accommodation. So in other words, if 40 or 50 people are in a lecture hall, is there accommodation for them? 40 or 50 could be 2 hours in the morning, then that room is used again for another 40 or 50, and then in the afternoon for another 40 or 50, and the ratio just doesn't follow. Now, a lot of that accommodation is probably used up by, you know, students who are paying high-end master degree programs, non-EU students, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they are taking over the accommodation, where it really is a necessity for us to look at our own, look at the EU and the Irish students who are coming in, and an adequate supply of accommodation.
Yeah, but you know that the universities like these out-of-state fees that these guys pay.
Correct.
I mean, whereas there's an Irish fee for a medical student would only be, $3,000, and the state provides the rest. For an out-of-state student, it could be 20 grand. Do you know?
Do we need to look at that, Pat? Is that fair to your 19-year-old daughter or son coming up from the country to study in a university in a city? And that then pushes them out onto the roadside looking for, accommodation that's going to be, it's going to be abused come September, Pat. And the English language sector is a very small factor in this, because we're at the tail end of it. Now, we have to offer courses with accommodation. Universities don't.
Yeah. That's now, just getting down to brass tacks, Kieran, how much would someone be paid to put up a student in their home? And do they have to do it full board, or is it B&B, or what is the arrangement
with the
student?
There's kind of a grid to it. I suppose if you take that, an income for a student would be about €350 a week. 100 of that would go to the school. In around €200 would go for the accommodation and food, etc. Different people, who welcome students offer different profiles. Some say we only do bed and breakfast. Some say we do full board. Some only do Monday to Friday. Weekends aren't involved and students are happy. So there are different profiles to welcoming
now,
a student.
And all of this, presumably, because of the rent room legislation, is tax-free?
It is up to £14,000, but there's another idea for an incentive. At the moment, we've got a huge community of young people who can't afford to buy their first house. Would it not be an incentive for the government to say, look, you can earn, 20 grand a year if you, for the first 2 or 3 years of your purchase of your house? And all of a sudden, people are now in a situation where they can welcome students at an incentive tax-free. That then brings money in, brings students into good accommodation, and it starts a circular ball. It's a wheel, and people are getting on that wheel and they're going around, and it will bring more income into. I mean, the industry is worth about $500 million to Ireland Inc. And if we can get this sorted out and get it straightened out immediately now and not waiting for your September to come around, you will find that people will be in situations where there's money in pockets, there's people able to spend, students are able to be satisfied and their parents are happy that they're in good accommodation. But it needs stakeholders, it needs government, it needs universities, it needs people to sit around now and start to evaluate where these issues can be alleviated.
People might say, well, why don't you do it yourselves? Why don't you guys provide accommodation?
We do. We have to. We have to.
Build and provide, not just rent other people's houses, but actually go about the provision, build an apartment block that is used by the English language schools.
There are providers. For our sector, we have many providers, particularly in Dublin. Now, obviously, I'm based here in Dunleary, and I know the Dublin situation. I'm sure it's the same in Cork, Limerick, Galway, whatever. But there are actual student residents for English language education. But the volume just isn't enough. And they're taking in, students from universities as well as from English language sector. It's a financial thing, Pat, I suppose. I mean, you can't just find a field and put up a 100-bedded accommodation facility for English language students. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember that there used to be digs for students when they came to the cities. But our industry grew. We brought in a lot of money into the Ireland Inc. And, you know, all of a sudden it became an issue. We understood this. We addressed it. We're happy to understand that it is a problem. And we need government help. We need people to have a look at this and address it for right across the board. But it's not, we're the tail end of it.
All right.
I need people to understand that we're the tail end of an issue that's already there. We're only allowed 15 students to one teacher, so we're quite small in terms of adding to the problem. But it does need stakeholders to sit around a meeting. And Pat, I'm happy to come back on the show in September, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a really, really difficult time.
The interesting thing is that, you know, right close to you, there's a co-living block being built in Dunleary. Yes. But it won't be affordable at the prices you mentioned.
Not at all. They're
talking about $1,400 for a one-bed co-living apartment per month. Yeah,
it's a good idea, Pat, but it's not financially viable.
But you're talking about $200 a week maybe to a householder. So if you max that out at $800 a month, nowhere near the price of a small co-living apartment. All right, Kieran.
There's no comparison.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us, Kieran Mahon, Managing Director of Active Learning, Language Learning, based in Dunleary, and Director of English Language Education Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.